Over the long holiday weekend, I had the rare opportunity in my current life anyway to hold some babies. Boy, that was great. One that was just about a year old, so just a, you know, a good chunk in your arm. And then, boy, one that was about 8 weeks old, got to do a little feeding of a neighbor, former neighbor's little baby last night as well. And boy, those were just blessings. And as we think about the Holy Father, thinking about the very young, you know, getting to look into their eyes as they're kind of blinking open and wondering what's going on in the world with those very little ones and wonder what's in store for them. That's kind of on the Holy Father's heart and mind this month as well.
The future of the very young is kind of how people talk about the Pope's prayer intention for December. You know, I had the great fortune to be out in Los Angeles with two of my sons, and I have a new grandbaby. Well, she's a year and a half now, but that same sense I had of what the Holy Father is talking about are these young children who are full of possibility that could go in a lot of directions. So let's pray his prayer for a second, if we can. And, you know, the Holy Father asks us to pray that every country take the measures necessary to prioritize the future of the very young, especially those who are suffering. So that, you know, I think the very young, it can go a couple different ways. And I look at my granddaughter and think, what does the future hold for her? And then if I look at very poor children, I wonder, what might the future hold for them?
Yeah, it's kind of the, you know, if when for God's grace, you know, there go I, you know, and these young souls born into different bodies in different parts of the planet and how different their futures can be. But as Christians, we ought to work and strive that they all have that equal chance at a good life here and eternal life to come. But when we look into those little eyes, the other thing we ought to do as we continue to pray that those young lives may grow into fruition as the Holy Father would have us pray for, but to do it with confidence. And every once in a while, we might hear someone say, oh, I could never bring a child into this world. Well, the world's been crazy as long as it's been spinning, and we need not fear, right?
That is really true. I mean, the thought, we all have the gift of life within us that God gives us. So we all are called to bring forth life into the world. And if someone, a young family, has the possibility of bringing children into the world, who could be afraid of that if we're trusting in God? It is the most wonderful thing I've had in my life was the grace of God and the gift of God of my three sons. So it's always a wonderful thing. You know, it's really surprising to me when I look into the Pope's prayer this month is that, you know, we think of, you know, children in Africa, which is a huge area of concern. But we don't often think of the United States as a big area of concern, and this is a shocking kind of number, and one in five children are born into poverty. And this is in the United States. One out of every five children suffers with poverty. So when the Holy Father asks us to think about the future of the very young, especially the suffering, what he's talking about is how, you know, our faith calls us to really look out for the little ones. And the poor in general have always been of special concern, you know, in the biblical tradition. So that means they're a special concern to God. We believe that. But then when we look, you know, at the very poor, especially as suffering, we're talking about a little special emphasis from our church, you know, in trying to look at the situation through the eyes of God in some way if we can. And to understand that these people who are suffering the most ought to be our number one concern. And I think that's what the Holy Father is pressing us to wake up. If that isn't the message of Advent, by the way, you know, we're supposed to wake up and be aware of what's going on in our lives and in our society. So that's, I mean, the Holy Father has a pretty challenging Advent message for us to really think about those who are suffering the most. I guess I'm one of my little projects for Advent this year, I'm carving a nativity set for my granddaughter because I want them to have this in their home. And I'm not a big-time wood carver, but I'd like to become
beautiful.
But I thought of that as our families have these nativity sets in our homes, and we wait for the coming of the baby Jesus. It's a good time to reflect on the very poor and suffering children of the world.
I have a hand-carved one. I don't know much about the origin of it, and it's probably not nearly as detailed as the one that you're working on as well. But one I do have is one that I collected one piece at a time as a very small child. In Sunday school, every year we would get one piece, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year. And my mother wrote on, you know, on the back what year it was, who the Sunday school teacher was, and all of that. And as I was setting it up over the past weekend, looking at it, I was 2 years old when I had the first two pieces came together that year, both Mary and the baby Jesus, and my aunt was the Sunday school teacher. But you think, wow, when you're giving something like that to a little kid at age two, who knew they'd be, you know, talking about it on the radio just a few years later. But one of the things you do is we talk with John Feaster on the communications team at Glen Mary Home Missioners. And for Glen Mary, one of the big areas you work in is Appalachia. And, you know, and not all of us in, you know, suburban America can really let that sink in, that one in five kids born in poverty. How can we better appreciate that to maybe motivate us to do some things about that?
Here's the story. You know, it is a huge problem in the poorer regions of the U.S., Appalachia, the Deep South, but this is a big problem in our backyards. So the first thing I would try to think of is, how can I be present to the very poor in my community? And I guess I would turn to the Catholic Charities, that each of our dioceses has a Catholic Charities office. So I would think there's lots of programs where people are helping the very poor, and the folks at Catholic Charities will know how to plug you or me into those programs. Then we also have, you know, in my parish, we've got a coach drive, and our St. Vincent de Paul conference, of which I'm a member, we have a special food drive for families to make sure that there's a Christmas dinner, which is really a cool idea. It helps people who wouldn't have gifts otherwise for their kids and special Christmas dinners. But it helps us think that this is a year-long situation. You know, we don't just want to help people at Christmas, but of course we do want to help them at Christmas, but not only that. We want to maybe plug into some of these programs that are working with people day-to-day throughout the year, and also help us, those programs, so that, and the Catholic Charities in particular, can help us to see the bigger picture. And that's part of the Pope's appeal to us, to make sure every country takes the measures necessary. So those measures have to do with policies and the way the government plays its role in providing a stable kind of future for these children. And, you know, Glenn, we think about a good future for children, and it's kind of a nice thing. But if we think of the very poor, children are damaged for life by not having the basic things that they need when they're very young. So just by truly changing lives at the very beginning, we're changing lives for the whole period of people's lives. So it's kind of like there's a special time to get to people during those developmental years that we want to be especially sure that they're not being damaged by poverty.
As we talk with John Feaster about the Holy Father's prayer intention for the month of December, the future of the very young, and when we look at the very young and think about those not starting out in the most comfy situation, if we look past the Hallmark version of the first Christmas and think about that, wow, our Lord was born in very, very, very poor circumstances. Odds are our mom didn't have to ride for a while on a donkey and give birth to us in a stable. And obviously the Lord has a heart for those children who start out without a lot physically with them.
Our Lord has a special love for each of us, but especially for the poor. That's what our Catholic faith is teaching us. You know, I remember one of our famous Glen Mary priests, Father Pat O'Donnell, may he rest in peace. He was such a creative guy, but he did this Glen Mary Challenge magazine that I have the honor to work on these days. And he used to, every year, he would take a picture, he would kind of stage a photograph of a Madonna and child in Appalachia in eastern Kentucky where he worked. You know, he would have people pose, and he would put I'll never forget that he would put a popsicle stick behind his kids' fingers so that they would hold up in imitation of how Christ the teacher. But he would have, Father Pat would get into the heart of the Appalachian community, to get into the heart of the very poor and suffering, to give us a message about where we should focus our attention, that the that the special concern for the very poor is the special concern of our Lord. And that's what our church is all about.
And basically telling us, John, we need to maybe go out of our way just a little bit to look for these opportunities to be a little more helpful for the less fortunate this season, and let alone all year long.
Yeah, you know, I live in a community that's not poor at all. I mean, it's not rich, but it's kind of a middle of the road place. And I know a lot of our listeners out there live in places where we don't see too many people who are poor. So it will take a little bit of effort on our part to try to engage with a community that is not ours. It's easy and good to go and volunteer at the local school, but it's also, you know, how do we get outside of our comfort zone? How do we find our way into the world of people who are poor? And that isn't something you just do. You know, I guess there's a few, the St. Francis's of this world could walk into, you know, poverty and try to figure out what to do about it. But for the rest of us, I think we're looking for help from our church. And that's why the church is the church. We work with each other. We worship with each other. We praise God together. And we follow God's call together. And in that sense, there are a number of church kind of organizations or efforts that we can really find ways to join in. One thing, I do a little bit of volunteer work at a place called the Mary Magdalene House in Cincinnati. So I find an organization that is working with the very poor and work with them. There's a great program down there that's called, actually it has a funny name, it's a diaper program for families to make sure that the children have diapers. I mean, these days we use paper diapers, everybody uses those. So it's not like the old days where people had cloth diapers, and it's just been a tremendous problem. If you're very, very poor, who can afford the Pampers? I mean, it just cost a fortune. So I know there are diaper banks around the country and people can make donations to them. This one is called Sweet Cheeks, which I think is a great name for a diaper bank. people can come to this place, it's right by a church downtown, and pick up diapers for their kids. I hate to say it, but the kids who don't have diapers live a very miserable life. It's just a fact. We don't think of that actually happening in our communities, but there are many, many places where there's a shortage of diapers. That's a very basic kind of situation.